Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Oh, Chris, I enjoyed that so much. I was so blessed. Oh, I was so blessed. Thank you, buddy. Oh, I've never heard Chris when I wasn't greatly blessed. Greatly blessed. Telling him this morning that I remember a message up at Moose's in Louisville. Great Gulf fixed. And, God's talking about being in His hands, the same hand that holds the water, measures the water in the hollow of His hands. It's the same hand that we're in. Measures the water in the hollow of His hands. That's the hand we're in. Holding the water in one, us in the other. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I've titled my message this evening, A Preacher, A Sinner, and Salvation. A preacher, a sinner, and salvation. You got a preacher, and you've had a preacher. If I can find a sinner, there'll be some salvation around here. Ain't that right? But look, let's restart reading together here in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord, I'm going to turn one of these microphones off. It's just real loud for me. It goes in the back of my ear. That'd be all right. But it said here, and the angel of the Lord, verse 26, spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said unto him, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. Now God sent Philip down here to Samaria to be a preacher. You all have to start a meeting down here. Sit him down there and start preaching. And you know the Samaritans was a people that their religion started way back in the Old Testament when there was a fellow that didn't want people to go up to Jerusalem, and he hired him a priest, and he hired him a prophet, and he hired him made him a image, and got him an ephod and said, Y'all stay here. And they were half-breeds. And you know, our Lord Jesus Christ says, You being a Jew, you know you have nothing to do with Samaritans. But God sent Philip down here to Samaria. It says there in verse 5, Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached unto them. But here God opens the door to these Samaritans, these half-breeds. But I know this much about God. He deals with some in grace. He seals with some in judgment. While he was dealing with these people in Samaria in grace, he was also dealing in judgment with Simon the sorcerer, who bewitched many. He also believed. And then he turned right around and he seen the Holy Ghost being given with the laying on of hands. And he says, Here's some money. Give me this gift. And Peter says, Your money perish with you. So God raises some up in grace, saves them by His grace, and yet at the same time He raises some up just to destroy. And that's what He does. Wherever the gospel is being preached, that's what He told Pharaoh. He said, Pharaoh, I raised you up for one reason. You don't exist for one reason. You're only on the throne for one reason. You only drawn breath for one reason. When you said, who is the Lord? I'm going to show you. Drowned him. Raised him up for one purpose, to drown him. And then there's the other side of it. He raised up some people just to show grace to. Just to reveal his son in. And all, beloved, and there's no doubt here. I feel a passage to you all. And let's look at this Ethiopian eunuch at his salvation. And I want you to understand this. It's the Lord Jesus Christ going after one sheep.
Yes, sir.
Just one. You think God don't go to great extremes to get one of his own? He's going to get his people. And he's going to get them one at a time, but he's going to get them. And he sent this preacher down here. Now, let's start, I told you about a preacher. Well, let's look at the preacher. Philip's the preacher. We know that. Philip's up here and he's having a great revival. He'd been in Samaria. The Lord was using him. A great revival was going on. Let's look back up there in verse 5 just a minute. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. You know, he went down, didn't go down there knocking on doors, asking people to let Jesus into their heart. Would you please accept Jesus? We'd sure like you to come to our services up there. We're having a revival meeting. We got an altar and we got some good singers. And I mean, we got a quartet that I mean can ring the bells. Come on down. No, he went down there and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For the unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed of them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. Watch this. And there was great joy in that city. Down in verse 12, look what it says. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning that kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So there was something going on down here. I mean, beloved, God was blessing this preacher. And then God came to him in a revival. And everything, I mean, people being converted, people being saved, people being baptized, people rejoicing in the Lord, people being healed, miracles going on. And then all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord said, arise, go toward the south. In verse 26, go down toward Jerusalem in desert. Go into the desert. Go from where everything's happening. Go to the desert. This is desert. This right here is dry. It's dry right here. This is. But there's at least there's some brown grass. But there's desert. Nothing. Go down to the desert. When you think about desert, you think of desolation.
Yes, that's right.
You think of nothing. You think of emptiness. You think of great expanse where there's absolutely nothing but heat and death and just desolation. But that's where I want you to go. Leave the work here. Just leave it alone. Go down the desert. What could possibly be going on down in the desert? What could possibly be going on down? Well, let me tell you something. Philip didn't ask the question. Philip never pondered. Philip never backed up. He never said, Lord, ain't you got somebody else to go? There's some other fellows around here. It's just in my way. Just send them down there. I mean, these guys aggravate me to death. They want to preach all the time. They hinder me. Send them down there. They want to preach. Let them go to the desert. No, that's not what he said. He obeyed. He didn't know why God said go to the desert. He didn't care why God said go to the desert. And look what it says there in the beginning of verse 27. And he arose and he went. He arose and he went. Oh, and when he went, look what happens. And behold, a man of Ethiopia. That's what's down in the desert. One of God's elect's down there in the desert. Just one of them. Go down there in the desert. And oh, beloved, what could the worth of a soul be to our covenant God? Oh, the worth of a soul for whom Christ died. That God would send a preacher, cause him to leave where lots of things are going on, to go after that one of his blessed sheep. I'll never forget this as long as I live. We was down in Chiapas. We went up there to that, parked the truck and went way up there in that village. One man was there. Henry Mahan sat down with that one man. He is sitting there, and Henry's sitting in a little wooden folding chair, and he preached to that one man. That one man. And I remember what he preached, because I sat there listening, but he had one man to preach to. And when he first come out here, you know what he told me, Norm? That fellow asked him to come out here, he said, how many would it take to get you to come out here? He said, well, me and you, if you're there and I'm there, what else will we need? And that's what this business is about. We're in the business of doing what God says, going where He says, preaching what He says to preach.
Amen.
There are no questions about it. And oh, you see, God saves individuals. He came to Enoch, it was Enoch that walked with God. And for 300 years he walked with God. It was Noah who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It was Abraham that God called out of the Ur of the Chaldees. It was that woman at the well that Christ went to by himself, and with being weird with his journey, said, if you knew the gift of God.
Amen.
And it was Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road. One man that Christ put into the dust. God saves individuals. And when there was 3,000 saved on the day of Pentecost, every single one of them was saved individually. They all heard the gospel for themselves. And you got to hear the gospel for yourself. And oh, beloved, now let's look at the sinner. Oh, there's the preacher. Vernon said about him so far. And look, and there was this Ethiopian. Here's this Ethiopian, the sinner. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And oh, what kind of man is this man? He's a powerful man. He's a powerful man. He's a big, big shot in the government. I mean, he's a man of great authority. When you got the charge of the money, you in power. When you got charge of the purse, you got power. And this fella here, he was a man of great authority. He was a man of power. He was a man of wealth. He was a man of influence. He was a man who people deferred to when he was at home. When he got back to Ethiopia, they deferred to this fella. They had to cuddle up to him if they wanted anything from the queen. They had to get close to him. This fella's powerful. And oh, beloved, but oh, God don't have no trouble humbling the powerful. You know, and I'll tell you what, this is what's so sad about it. People who ain't got nothing think they're as powerful and as wealthy as this fellow.
That's true.
Huh? If they ain't rejoicing and ain't glorying in what they've got, they're glorying in their poverty. But look what happens here. And all you think about the great men that God's humbled. There's old Naaman. I've always said, y'all remember General Schwarzkopf, don't you?
Yes.
Oh, what a man. Well, Naaman was the General Schwarzkopf of his day.
Yes.
He rolled up there to that prophet's house. He had a bunch of gold. He had a bunch of beautiful clothes. And he said, I'm going to sit right here and that prophet's going to come out here. You see, he was a great man and a great general. But, always a but, he was a leper. He was a leper. He happened to be a leper. He was a leper who happened to be a great man. And that's the way this fellow is. He's a sinner who happens to be a great man. But oh, Naaman, come up there. I ain't fixed to take my uniform off. If you don't, you're not going to get God to do anything for you. He stripped that uniform off. And he went down that water. Not one time, not two times, not three times, not four times, not five times, not six times, but seven. And the reason he went seven, because that's what God said it's going to take.
That's right.
Huh? And that beloved God can humble a man. How about Hezekiah? How about Saul of Tarsus? Oh, he humbles the mighty. And all beloved, and here look what it says about him. He's a powerful fellow. And he had come to Jerusalem. And what did he come to Jerusalem for? To worship. To worship. And what did he go when, what did he find when he went up there? He found a dead, empty, lifeless religion.
Yes, sir.
That's what he found. You know, that's what that woman told the Lord Jesus Christ. She says, you know, you say Jerusalem is where men ought to worship. And that's what people do. They come three times a year to Jerusalem for the worship. And those people now go by the boatloads and trainloads and busloads to the Holy Land. And they think they're going over there and going to worship and try to find where Jesus was buried and all that rigmarole and be baptized in Jordan. And that don't mean diddly. That's no more the Holy Land over there than Rescue California is the Holy Land. Is it? No, they went over there to worship. That's where everybody says, if you're going to worship God, you got to go to Jerusalem. If you're going to worship God, you got to go up there where the tabernacle is. If you're going to worship God, you got to go up there where the priests are. You got to go up there where they got some food. You got to go up there where they got sacrifices. You got to go where everybody else is going. They got something going on up there. Them fellas pray the beautifulest robes you ever seen.
Yeah.
Oh, they can pray like you never heard anybody pray.
Right.
Oh, listen, I tell you, they can tell you everything that Moses said for you to do, and then if that ain't enough, he can just add a little more.
Mm-hmm.
What did he find when he got there? Twice dead religion. Men dead in their sins and dead in their religion. Pharisees and scribes. He found the super religious. Have you ever been around anybody super religious? I used to be super religious. I'm telling you the truth. Look with me over in Matthew just a minute. I was super religious. I wouldn't let my wife wear pants. My daughter never put on a pair of slacks till she was a freshman in high school. Didn't own a television. Didn't smoke, didn't chew. And I didn't run to anybody to do. Oh, I was religious, man.
Oh.
Them folks hate to see me come to church to preach because I know they know that I had my shotgun loaded and I was after everything that moved in the middle. You know, if you had on too much makeup, I was after you. If them earrings was too long, I was after you. If your skirt was too short, you was in trouble. I'll tell you some of the things I used to say. Oh, it's awful. It's embarrassing, but yet God saved me from this. What God saved me from. I wasn't converted in that. Believe me, I was not a saved man when I was preaching that. I wasn't an Armenian who had just happened to learn grace. I wasn't saved back there in that kind of rigmarole and then grew in grace. No, there was a time in my life God said, every bit of that's done. And you're going to count it dumb. And you're going to count it rubbish. You're going to count you. That there is nothing but shame and disgrace and dishonor against God Himself. And God brought me to the place where I own that. And I said, I'm ashamed of ever lying on you. I'm ashamed of ever dishonoring you. I'm ashamed of ever legalism thought I had. I'm ashamed of every message I ever preached that gave any glory or honor to man. I'm ashamed that I ever tried to tell people how they should live instead of pointing them to Christ. Ashamed of it. And oh my, look what it says here now. These folks are super religious. Matthew 23:5. Look what he said. This is kind of folk they found there. He said, for all their works, they do for to be seen of men. That's pretty super. That's pretty religious. They make broad their phylacteries, enlarge the borders of their garment. I mean, boy, it's not enough just to wear regular clothes. They got to make them just a little flashier, stand out just a little more. And then look what it said on down here in verse 13 about them. Look what our Lord said about them. But woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You shut up the kingdom of God, of heaven against men, for you don't go in yourselves, and you won't let them go in that want to go in. You won't do it. You shut them out. And down in verse 23, this is it right here. This is super religion at its best. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrite. You pay tithe of your mint, your anise, you go out in your garden, and you go through your herb garden, and you take a tenth of all everything there, and you carry it up there to the church, and you carry it up there, let everybody see what you're doing. You really went to great, great length to do this, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, faith. These ought you to have done, not to leave the other undone. Now this is where they're at. You blind guides. You straining a gnat. Straining a gnat. And a camel comes along and something so obvious, and you swallow it. Swallow it. And oh my, there was the superlative. More concern for the jots and the tittles than they were for the glory of God. And then there was the political. That's what he found when he got up there. The Sadducees happened to be the ones in power at this time, and they happened to be the high priest. And a Sadducee, now why in the world they believed, I just have no idea. But they didn't believe in spirits, they didn't believe in angels, they didn't believe in a resurrection. But they were the high priest. That's what they were. And all religion and politics, that's a deadly combination. But that's what was going on when they got up there. But in that last day, that great day of the feast, the scripture says that Jesus stood and cried, "If any man's thirsty," cried with a loud voice and said, "If any man's thirsty, let him come unto me and drink." And then to get back over in our text, let me hurry up here. And they found him there. What was he doing? He had went to Jerusalem. He is going home now. He went up there, came up there empty and left empty. Came up there seeking God and left not knowing God. Come up there to worship, never worshiped a moment. And then look what he was doing. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. He didn't find God in Jerusalem, but he found the book of God. And you know, and what they had a scroll. The scriptures didn't come in books. They came in scrolls. And when a person read them, they'd read them out loud. And he's sitting there with this in the window. And the scriptures were very expensive. Very expensive. And here he had this roll, and there's the roll of Isaiah. And oh, he's sitting there and he's reading from the book of Isaiah. And then the Spirit of God said to Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." Now he was still a pretty good ways off because it said Philip ran there. Had to run to catch up to him. And when he got there, he heard him reading. I told you he's reading out loud. He's sitting there reading out loud. And he understood what he was reading. He could hear him read from Isaiah 53. He's standing there reading. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shears was dumb. He opened not his mouth, and in his judgment his humiliation was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? And he's sitting there reading that, and he walked up to him, got eased up beside his chariot there, and he says, "Do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading?" Oh, that's a good question.
Yes, sir.
Do you understand what you read? Oh, my. But look what happens now. He said, "Oh, do you understand what you read?" Oh, look what he said. Oh, somebody had asked me this. Oh, and he said, "How can I? How can I? Except some man should guide me. How am I going to understand this? I'm a natural man. I'm reading it. But I don't know what I'm reading. I don't understand what I'm reading. How can I understand except some man should guide me?" And then look what he done. Philip never done anything till this man asked him. And he said, Philip, he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Philip never buttoned on him and said, "Do you know Jesus yet? Have you accepted Jesus yet?" Tell you a story. True story. Some of y'all may have heard of B.B. Caldwell years ago. He was sitting on a park bench in South Carolina, wherever Bob Jones University at. Where's that at?
Greenville,
South Carolina. He was sitting on a park bench in Greenville, South Carolina, and Bob Jones University's down there. And they send these preachers out, you know, to witness and win souls and practice, you know. Got to go out, and they send them out by fours. And they go out to practice. Well, they went through this park and they come up on this old man sitting on this bench, and they go practice on him. You know, it takes four to get a fellow saved. If one man's persuasive enough, you try it. You're better at it than I am. So they don't even have a backup plan. Here they are. And old B.B. Caldwell sitting there, good preacher. Good preacher. And they said to him, "Sir, are you saved?" Old Caldwell said to him, "If I'm not, what could you do about it?" What can you do about it? If you're not saved tonight, what can I do about it? I can't give you a new heart. I can't change your will. I can't put your sin away. I can't talk you into anything. But God can, and that's what this fellow said. How can I except some man guide me? And oh, beloved, how valuable is the Word of God. How valuable is a preacher, the sin of God. It's incalculable for God to cross your path with a preacher. I bless God for the day that He crossed my path with a preacher preaching the gospel of the grace of God. I bless the day that some preacher told me, "Your righteousness is as a filthy rag." I bless the day that a preacher told me, "You got to either believe grace or free will. You can't ride two horses at the same time. You can't same time." Can you? Can't do it. And all I said was, I know it's the gospel soaked in our tears. Can it ain't got nothing to do with it. It's just the gospel if you never shed a tear. And oh, beloved, that's what he said here. Oh, the value of a preacher, sin of God, is incalculable. To be able, and that's why Don is so serious when we do go. And oh, this is what's happening here, is grace going before grace.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I love grace going before grace. Grace came to me before grace came to me. God goes ahead. He goes to prepare. He has the soil plowed up. He's got this fellow ready to listen. He's got him ready. Oh, my. It's grace going before grace. Oh, God prepared this man's heart. He's ready and willing to listen. He said, "Come here and sit with me. Tell me what's going on here." And then they began, they was reading Isaiah 53. The place of the scripture in verse 32 was, "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, so like a lamb before he's done. Like a lamb dumb before his shears, he opened not his mouth, and his life was taken from the earth." And listen to the question this man asked in verse 34. Listen to this question. "And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh this prophet?" This prophet's talking about somebody. This prophet is speaking of somebody. And then what does he say? He said, is he talking about himself? Is this preacher, this prophet, speaking of himself? Is he preaching himself? Is he wrote these things about himself? Is he the lamb? Is he the one who's going to be taken away in his humiliation? No. Oh, listen to this. Of himself or of some other man? Three things. Who is he talking about? Is he talking about himself or is he talking about some other man? Oh, my. He knew this much about it. It was about a man. Because it said he was led as a sheep. He was led as a lamb. And he knew it was about a man. He knew it was about a lamb that was going to be led to slaughter. He knew that in his humiliation, he'd be taken away to judgment. Well, now, what in the world is Philip going to say? Look in verse 35. "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture," the same scripture, "and preached unto him Jesus." And what he told this fella, what he told this Ethiopian eunuch was that this scripture here is just a fulfillment of something that's already taken place. This is, I know without a shadow of a doubt that he started in Isaiah 53 and he described the Lord Jesus Christ and how he came into this world, and that he was the Lamb of God. He told him just exactly what John said. And I mean, beloved, he says this is the fulfillment of all the scripture. This is the fulfillment of what Christ, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he preached the Lord Jesus Christ unto him. Now listen to this. Listen what preaching is. Preaching is the relation between the scriptures and Christ.
Yes.
That's what it is. What is the relation between the scriptures and Christ? Not in how to live, not in what to do, not in how to dress, not a historical discourse, not a thing on theology, but this, beloved, is the relation of the Scriptures between Christ and His Word. It's the Word of God in the realm of God. The written Word and the living Word. You'll never know the written Word apart from the living Word, and you won't know the living Word without the written Word. Ain't that right? If you ever hear the written Word, you'll hear the living Word. If you ever hear the living Word, you'll believe the written Word. Oh, and it was about the record that God gave of His Son. And He said, I'm going to tell you the record that God gave of His Son. And no doubt He told about our Lord's birth. He grew up before Him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. There was no beauty about Him that we should desire Him. No comeliness, no beauty. And when we looked at Him, we said, He's stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And every one of us turned away our faces. I don't want Him. I don't want to look at Him. I don't want to desire Him. And there's nothing about Him that I think is beautiful enough to even consider. But He was wounded. Wounded. What for? For our transgressions. Bruised. What for? For our iniquities. He was chastised, beaten. What for? For our stripes. For our peace. And by His stripes we're healed. And oh, and it says that it pleased the Lord to bruise Him, and He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep. Before His shears was dumb, He didn't even open His mouth. When our Lord Jesus Christ was in the garden praying, Judas came over there, and this shows you that this idea of Christ, you know, with a halo over His head and light shining around about Him. He had to be pointed out many, many times as to who He was. If He came in this service tonight, and we was all a bunch of Jews, and He come in here and sat down, we wouldn't thank Him. We wouldn't recognize Him. We wouldn't know Him to be just another fellow in the service. And that's why Judas had to go over there and says, now the one that I kiss, that's the one you need to take. Over 500 men went after Him. They had some sticks, they had some staves, but the roughnecks. They got over there and they said, Jesus kissed Him and said, our Lord Jesus said, who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth, I am He. All 500 of them fell back. He laid down His life.
Amen.
No man took it from Him. He had the power to lay it down. He had the power to take it up again. And they fell backwards. And they asked Him again. He said, I am He. And then He said this, bless His holy name. Oh, bless His name. He said, if you want Me, take Me. But leave these alone.
Yes.
Don't you? You ain't bothered. You can't have me and them at the same time. No, no. You think these can't go? I've got to tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God by myself.
Amen.
I've got to face the judgment of God by myself.
Yes.
I've got to face the hatred and enmity of man by myself. I've got to face the holiness and righteousness of God by myself. I've got to face the wrath of God by myself. I've got to bear this sin by myself. And oh, beloved. And he began to preach Christ unto him, and he went through that, and then he says, and it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. And then he began, I know he told what his death accomplished. He says, you know that when he died, all the sins of all his elect for all time and eternity was on him. And he by himself, by the sacrifice of himself, put away sin by that sacrifice. And he entered into that holy place and he came back out with eternal redemption. Huh? And that's why he said when he got down there, he said, for the transgression of my people was he stricken.
Yes.
Fella got on to me one day and he said to me, he said, you always talking about my people. My people. God's people. I said, that's what God calls them.
Yes,
sir. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall say what?
Yes.
His people.
Yes,
He was stricken for the transgression of my people. They which were not a people are now the people of God.
Mm-hmm.
He got mad about that. He said, this makes you seem special. That's why the Lord Jesus says they hate you. Why? Because I chose you out of the world. The minute you say you're one of God's elect, they get mad. That's the reason they get mad at you. You say, I was chosen out of the world. Well, that, you mean you're special? No. But the one who called me is. Huh? And oh, beloved, he faced the sin, the judgment, death, and conquered every one of them.
Yes, sir.
Oh, now look what happens now. Oh, I'd like to take a little more time on that, but I won't. But oh, our blessed Redeemer, he went through Isaiah 53. He went and told them what happened at Jerusalem. He went and told how he was beaten. He went and told how he was nailed to that cross. He went and told all the seven cries that was made there on the cross. He told about how he was buried. He told about how he was resurrected, and he appeared for 40 days, and by many infallible proofs made his disciples know that he was risen from the dead. And only his disciples saw.
Yes, sir.
But oh, look what happens now. Verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. Water in the desert. Water in the desert. Well, there was water followed Israel all the way through the desert. It was a rock. Everywhere they went, the rock went. Right. How's a rock follow you? If it's Christ, he follows you. I've never seen a rock move by its own power. But that rock, wherever they went, that rock went right with them. Now, I think of what the Scripture says. That rock that followed them was Christ. And they went on here and said, here they came to a certain water. And all, look at his confession of faith. And the eunuch said, here is water. What doeth hinder me from being baptized? Huh? And oh, beloved, how did this confession of faith? Why did he want to confess faith? Why did he say, and Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, and he said, you may. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What brought him to that place where he didn't know anything about Christ, didn't know who he was, and asking who is he talking about, to now, I want to confess him. I want to own him. I want to be identified with him. What took place there? Well, look in Romans chapter 10, maybe just a minute. I know it's hot. It's hot for me too. It's just hot here. Dang it. But look what happens. Verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Now watch this. Oh, that's wonderful. That's good. You call on the Lord? Oh, I do. Well, but here's what happens. Four questions. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Can you call on somebody you have never believed in? You're going to call on somebody you don't know anything about. And watch what it says. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? That's why this soul winning outfit is so damnable. That's why it's so horrendous. You know, they'll get folks to accept Jesus just at the drop of a hat. And they'll drop the hat themselves. And all they got to do is just get you to go down. You'll say, yes, I accept it, just to get them to leave you alone. Heard a fellow say one time, I got a maid saved from the first floor to the second floor. Man, well, yeah, he got her saved. God didn't get her saved. And that's what they do. And that's what he says. But how shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? You've got to hear some things. This idea, that's why we leave people alone. Leave them alone. Come hear the gospel. Come and sit still. Keep your mouth shut and ears open.
Amen.
Just keep quiet. God will speak to you. God will tell you what he wants you to know. God will bring you along at his rate, at his time, and in his way. You'll learn as he intends for you to learn. And that's what he says, and you'll call on him when you've heard of him. You got to hear some things about him. Look what it says now. Not only that, but it says this. And how shall they preach without? How shall they hear without a preacher? And that's what God did. This man didn't know who Christ was. He couldn't call on him. He said, who is he? Philip preached unto him. He said, now I'm calling on the name of the Lord. Why? Because I heard.
Yes, sir.
God sent him a preacher. And he heard. And oh, look what happens now. And oh, he said, here's water. What hinders me? What hinders me? God sent this preacher to one lost sheep. Here's water. What hinders me? Let me ask you this. What hinders you? Have you ever confessed Christ? Have you ever identified with Christ? Have you ever identified with His church? Have you ever identified with His gospel? Have you ever identified with the truth as it is in Christ? Have you ever said, I'm going to identify with this man? I'm going to throw in my lot with him. I'm going to throw in my lot with his people. I'm going to throw in my lot with his church. I'm going to throw in my lot with his gospel. I'm going to throw in my lot with them people who believe in the free and sovereign grace of God. And we say free and sovereign so that people understand that you ain't got nothing to do with it. God does it all. That's why we call it free and sovereign. There's no conditions on it. You say, well, you got to believe. He gives you the faith. You got to repent. He grants repentance. You got to hear. He gives you ears. How do you say, my sheep hear my voice? Hearing don't make us sheep. We hear because we are sheep. Oh, what hinders you? I ask you, what hinders you? I seriously ask you that. In light of this preacher here, I ask you, what hinders you? Here's water.
Yes, sir.
And oh, look what he says to him now. He made no qualifications here, and I'm not going to do it either. He didn't say if you're a convinced sinner, if you're a serious sinner, if you're an awakened sinner, if you're a bad enough sinner. He never put no qualifications on this. Only thing he said, if you believe with all your heart. And the heart's the person. You. If you believe with all your heart, you may. And listen to this. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, you know what that means to say that? You're identifying with, first of all, somebody that's eternal. The Son of God Himself.
Yes, sir.
That God sent Him. That God provided Him. That He was equal with God. He that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is an antichrist. There's lots of people that are antichrist that don't confess that. They can say, yeah, I believe Jesus, Son of God. But to know and believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, who was in the bosom of the Father, who came forth from the Father, who took care of the Father, who revealed the Father. Oh, I believe He's the Son of God. Watch what happens. And he said, stop this chariot right now. They didn't say, I'm going to wait till spring till it warms up. That's what they used to say down home. Oh, preacher, I'll wait till it warms up a little bit in the spring. Because we used to baptize in the creek. You ain't got much faith. You got to wait till spring. No. You're talking about that. I'm going to tell you another story. Honestly, I'm going to be done. But you're talking about the hours coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. My father-in-law is 75 years old. He's 85 now. He was sitting on the second pew. We're always sitting. It's over here. For me, it's over here. My mother-in-law, my wife, and my father-in-law. He'd go off and on for 20 years. He'd come to service. He's heard the best preachers. He had preachers in his home, always come to our conferences. And then he'd go lollygag somewhere for 6 months, show up for a couple of weeks. But he is in a service one day, and he'd been asking me some questions. And I preached there from John 5:24. The hour is coming, and now is when the dead. Now how in the world is a dead man going to hear? But when the dead shall hear the voice of the who? Son of God. And they that hear, live. Well, I got through, closed my Bible up, and I started off this way. And I got about two steps. My father-in-law jumped up. He said, Donnie. He said, I heard that voice today. Needless to
to say it, because, you know, it's probably this many people, maybe a little more in the service, and everybody knew him, and that church just fell to pieces. So I went to crying and hugging, and now he's 85 years old. He's there every time the service is open. And you know, I'd used to talk to him, and he'd say, "Oh, Johnny, I know the Bible. I know what the Bible says. I know what the Bible says. I've read the Bible." After he got converted, we're sitting in the study, and he said, "Here I am, 75 years old, and I'm a baby, and I don't know nothing." "I'm a baby, and I don't know nothing." He found out he'd do everything until God saved him, found out he didn't know nothing. And watch what happens now. "And he commanded that chariot to stand still, and they went both down into the water." Both of them went down. And it says they went down into the water. They didn't say they had some cups there and they're going to pour them. Didn't say he had a font there and he's going to throw water in his face. Tell you what, if you get saved in spots, get sprinkled. If you get saved in streaks, get poured. If you get saved all over, get buried. This fella got saved all over. They went down both into the water. And they got in water big enough for him to put that man under. He immersed him. And all, beloved, and he, scripture says there, and he, Philip, baptized him. Baptized him. And baptism is his confession of his relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. "I want this man to be my master, my Lord. He's my Redeemer. He's my all now." Huh? And then look what happens in verse 39. "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord said, caught Philip away," said, "you go on." "And the eunuch saw him no more," never saw him again. One sows, one waters, God gives the increase, it doesn't make any difference. And watch what he said. "And he went on his way." What was he doing? Yeah, that's something to rejoice about. Oh, listen, I've rejoiced all these years. I'm the happiest fellow you'll ever run across. You'll never run across anybody that enjoys his salvation more than me. I couldn't tell you. I don't know how long it's been since I felt any guilt or condemnation because I believe God. I'm rejoicing and I'm happy. I'm rejoicing. I'm going to go on my way rejoicing. When I get done, I'm going to go. I hope you go out of here tonight rejoicing. That's what he went on his way rejoicing. And that's what everybody does that gets converted. And more, listen now. He had heard that joyful sound. He heard the gospel of his salvation that day. Have you heard the gospel of your salvation? And it says in verse 40, "And Philip was found at Azotus. And passing through, he preached in all the cities." Wherever he went, he just went preaching. He just went preaching until he came to Caesarea. Let me tell you something, beloved. This great man, this powerful man, this wealthy man, didn't come to Christ as the treasurer of Ethiopian Union, of Candace. He didn't come to Christ as a wealthy man. He didn't come to Christ as a man of authority. He came to Christ as a sinner.
Yes, sir.
With nothing. With nothing. Amen.
Amen.
You come that way. In your hands, no price rang. You come that way. You come with nothing. And he'll take you. Take you just like you are. Just like that. Amen.